And that train track isn't really going into a train tunnel.
It's going into a butthole?
Unless it's Sigmund Freud's tunnel.
It's Which is his mom's butthole?
That already I know is going to be the intro part of our episode.
Welcome, applauders, to this month's podcast. I'm Lydia Malcolm.
I'm Jen McQuaid.
I'm Naomi McQuaid. And you better buckle your seatbelts because this is our third year of recording. And you know what you got into because you clicked on the thing.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. We do shock joys, like shock jock noises.
Uh-oh, ho, ho, ho.
Oh, no, it's Christmas in July, except you're listening to it in August.
Nyuk, 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 nyuk.
You guys, they left it up to me, and they got into it. We are listening to.
We're listening to?
No, well, you're about to listen to. We have watched and are prepared to describe to you Opus, A Wish for Wings That Work.
Yay!
That was the engine.
Okay, yeah, that's right.
Christmas in August. You mentioned that, though, right?
A little bit.
Yeah.
So, how we got here is probably my fault. This movie came out in 1991, of which I was approximately 8 or 9 years old. I did not do the math. And I think I saw it on TV, I think. And I don't know if I ever saw it again. It might have been one or two Christmases in a row. And here's how I found the DVD. I went to Rite Aid to buy booze. And as I do, I am sheepish and sad. Not like super sad, but like, I don't want to be like, hello, I am buying all of your booze, please. So I show up at Rite Aid. I'm walking down the aisle. I walk down the garden accoutrement aisle first. And I think about my mother and what she might like me to buy for her. And I was like looking at like little flags and little mushroom things, and none of them were on sale. So I'm not going to buy anything because I don't, like Fran Drescher says, I never buy anything for less than 50% off. If it's not 50% off, it's not on sale, right? And I encounter a person that I knew in high school and their mother. And I was like, I knew you intimately back in the day. My brain could not instantly grasp the name. So I immediately panicked, right? So I was like, I just walked past them and I was like, go straight to the back, 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 go straight to the back. And I did. And I was like, I only really wanted to maybe buy a yard knickknack and some candy and some booze. That was my whole plan, right? And so I made my, there's a clearance shelf. It's not a whole aisle or a section of an aisle. It's just a shelf. And I stood there and I was like, feel your shame. And then I remembered their name and I was like, do you track them down and say something? And I was like, no, you're already panicking. So I couldn't do anything. So I just stood staring at like these decrepit fingernail polishes and 75% off hair dyes. And I was like, I don't need any of this, right? But then in the way that I'm related to Abraham, and if you need to know, please listen to our Santa Claus
Conquers
the Martians. Thank you. I always say versus the Martians, but it's Conquers the Martians. There was a DVD there and I was like, oh, what's this? And there's a Santa Claus at the top. And then at the bottom, it's Opus, A Wish for Wings That Work. And I was like, what? Right? Because several years prior to this, I had said to Jen, this is one of my absolute favorite Christmas movies. I don't have a lot of favorite Christmas movies, but I'd really like it, and I can't find it anywhere. Which launched Jen, who is thoughtful and pragmatic, to try to find it on the internet and download it. And it did not work. It was like shoddy and VHS converted to digital. Maybe you have a commentary about that.
We got it at Hollywood Video, perhaps, or some other VHS place.
Tragic.
And then
tragic.
I had an old school video capture card that we plugged the VCR into the computer and recorded it into digital.
It was miserable and ugly, and it did not work very well. And I was a little heartbroken because it's going to be this broken little DVD CR, you know, from like back in the day. And I don't even think we have it unless it's in storage somewhere.
No, I'm pretty sure we tossed it.
Yeah, because it was garbage. And so for $1.25.
Deal.
On top of like super embarrassment, I was like, shoink. And then I loaded my arm with like red vines and Reese's peanut butter cups and like a bottle of wine. And then I like marched up to the front and I like crossed my fingers that they were checked out before I walked out of CVS or Rite Aid or whatever it is now. And I was like, and peace. And then I waited 3 months and then it was my choice. And I was like, this is what we doing in July. Y'all are in for it because Lydia needs a break from editing. Jen doesn't deserve to have to do all of the editing for us to get a break. This is a 30-minute movie. I mean, if you can call 30 minutes a movie.
It's like 23 minutes. You can find this on YouTube.
You already know my feelings. It's so delicious.
It is.
And that's how I dragged everyone here kicking and screaming into Opus, A Wish for Wings That Work.
Nice. Have you ever read the book?
No, I have not. I didn't even know it was a book. I only ever saw it on TV.
This is an adaptation of the book.
I would like the book, please.
Mm-hmm. Lydia, how did you come to this?
The podcast!
Yay!
That comes at the end, guys.
Yeah. What about you, Jen?
It's Naomi. Like, I'm almost positive I didn't see this when it originally aired or on a video rental store shelf. I'm pretty sure I had never heard of this as a movie. I've heard of Opus and Bill the Cat, but
from the cartoon strip back when you had like newspapers.
Okay, so I would ravage the newspaper to get to the comic strip page almost after divorce, probably every other day. And I remember reading the Berkeley Breathe strip. So Berkeley Breathe is the author, and he had a strip called Bloom County. And my dad had several books titled Bloom County X, blah, 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 right? So I would read them, and they were plotters. They were terribly wordy and very political, and I didn't understand them. Okay. I tried. I would read them. I'd be like, gosh, these are so funny. The chronically smoking one, the one who's like angry. And Roald Ann, who we see later on, does a number of strips. They're amazing. But those were the few that I got really into because they'd be like, Congress, blah, blah, blah. And my brain would automatically turn off. And then there would be these Opus strips that were not necessarily political. And I would be like, oh, these are the good ones. That's me licking my finger and turning the page, right? So like, I got really into those ones, but I couldn't get necessarily into Berkeley Breathed Bloom County as much. And so I focused on the one. I became obsessed with penguins. I'm over it now, but like, it was real good, right? And then I realized that Opus was like a whole thing in of itself, which I could be obsessed with. But you know what you should check out later on, Applauders, Lydia and Jen? There's a book called Basalope. It is a basset hound antelope, not unlike the jackalope of lore. That is a beautiful book. It is gorgeous. It is about a basalope, which is again, basset hound with antelope horns. And he's a mythical creature who lives in the woods and eventually flies. And he's just gorgeous. And it just speaks to the fact that Berkeley Breathed has a facet between like this deep, politically minded, like social relevance that is very engaging if you know anything, but I didn't know anything at 9, right? But there he has this fantastic side of him that's like, this is just funny for funny's sake. And it in a more mature way kind of mimics the Animaniacs sense of humor. Like, you're getting a lot all at once. You know what I'm saying? We're gonna get into it. But I just want to say there's Berkeley Breathed for all of us. Wherever you are at, he's got something for you. And rant. Rant number one. Okay. Lydia, do you want to tell them how we always talk longer than the thing?
So it takes us a longer time to talk about a movie and explain it than it would for you applauders to watch it and form your own opinion. So we will probably be here for like, I'm going to assume months. We will be here until actual Christmas of 2023.
Yeah, you're not wrong. So you know what that segues nicely into?
Sean Vex. Oh, right. Let me say it. Sean Vex.
Do you like that we're sort of the echo to it?
Yeah, okay. I really like that.
Okay, good. Sean was not feeling too great when he had the responsibility of writing these up. So shout out to Sean for going above and beyond always for us. Really appreciate that.
Not many people have a master's degree owning historian who's like, let me tell you what's wrong with your podcast.
And we're also going to be recording our defense of Spice World with Reels of Justice on August 28th. And Sean will be
like literally physically present. We are so excited.
It's great. It's going to be great.
I can't wait. I'm going to like sit. I don't know where we're going to have him sit. I'm here for it.
Mm-hmm.
I am literally more excited to hear Sean in our discussions than I was to interview Charlie Clark. Like, I like Charlie Clark. I love that interview.
Yeah, that was a great time.
That was a really great time. But to finally have our cover artist and our fact checker do something with us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, call us out on our snack.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
I haven't seen Spice World since high school.
It has Alan Cumming in it.
Yeah, it does.
Is he the bad guy?
No, he's the good. He's like a documentarian. Yeah, he's great. Oh, he's so great.
Alan
I love
Cummings.
Him.
He could narrate my life if you wanted.
He could do anything you wanted.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know.
Hold on. Is there a button for that, Jen? Is that the applause button?
Wah, wah.
No, you don't cuss out Alan Cummings. Jen had her butt finger of the wrong button. Oh, it's claps.
It's claps?
Yeah, for Alan Cummings.
Alan Cummings.
Yeah!
So I was having this dream about Alan Cumming.
And then when they saw what I was doing, they...
Based on a children's book by Berkeley Breathed, on December 18th, 1991, an animated special based on the book aired on CBS. It was directed by Skip Jones. I don't know if he's related to Chuck Jones or not, but Chuck Jones would be the guy.
Yeah, like Acme guy.
Yeah, basically any Looney Tunes.
Any Looney Tunes were thrown up against a wall, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So I don't know, but maybe we can find out later.
Hey, Jen, editing this later, do you want to throw that in right now?
Actually, he's not related to Chuck Jones after all.
Oh, no.
Yeah. We recorded both. produced by Peggy Regan for Steven Spielberg's Amblin Television for Universal Cartoon Studios. Berkeley Breathed was exceptionally displeased with the quality of the final product. In an exchange published with the Washington Post, he said to a person trying to find the VHS or DVD version, good luck. Hopefully you will find it in the rubbish pail.
Totally what happened.
I know. I was like, I'm living out his dream of like disillusionment.
We can do better than that, he said, and we will with an eventual Opus film. I don't know when this interview was, but okay, hopefully still happens. But I'm glad you enjoyed it, he says. I presume your family was on speed when they watched it. I would imagine it helps.
Just mild amounts of alcohol this time.
Mm-hmm. In an interview, Breathed explained that the production of the special was very difficult and that he was constantly at odds with the director, who wanted to add in more crude, vulgar jokes. And now we have a long paragraph about just what kind of things.
Okay, guys, if you watch this movie, and it's hard for me to call it a movie because it's only 30 minutes, but like, if you watch this on a scale of zero being Little House on the Prairie and 10 being any trauma film I've ever seen, this thing, if it registers above a 3 for you, you're not judging it right, you know? And that's mostly for the hairball part. Okay, go on, Jen.
All right. This is an interview with Berkeley Breathed in Animation Magazine, March 16th, 2011. Retrieved, I don't know what Sean means here by retrieved 20th of July 2017. Maybe they didn't publish it until then or something. I don't know. The director,
like, received.
It says retrieved, though. I don't know. The director, who was fired, managed to sprinkle a profane cornucopia of inappropriate flotsam around in the show. Find a moldy DVD and check out the opening credits sequence. Watch the snowy hills during the pan. Some of them aren't hills.
Are they?
I think these boobies.
Oh, boobies are better than personal opinion.
And that train track isn't really going into a train tunnel.
It's going into a butthole?
Unless it's Sigmund Freud's tunnel.
It's Which is his mom's butthole?
That already I know is going to be the intro part of our episode.
Of the 15-part episode of the 30-minute film we're reviewing. I get you.
It's pretty funny now, he says. Imagine how funny it was when we finally spotted it during final mixing 6 days before the network broadcast. Keep in mind, this was a Steven Spielberg production of a family Christmas show. I tried but failed to imagine Steven believing me when I tried to disclaim authorship of a woman's snow anus in the countryside, or the sign in the window of a store that said, "For sale cheap, Santa balls."
Santa balls made it in.
Yeah.
To the DVD I got for $1.25.
He says, too late to change. This was the pre-digital age. We courageously let it go without telling anyone. I'm glad I'm telling this in a trade magazine, and I can feel safe that it won't be going out on that internet thing.
Oh, no! Berkeley, I'm sorry. Mr. Breathed, I'm sorry.
All right, so we're out of the interview now. We got some other great facts for you. During the production of Hook in 1991, executive producer Steven Spielberg decided to utilize Robin Williams, who plays the Kiwi, and Dustin Hoffman, the cockroach, to record, in what little time he had, their voiceover work in a small studio. This is why both A-list stars were available for this animated special. It is also the reason why the quality of their voice recordings isn't as clear as the rest of the cast. Did you have a reaction to...
What year were they recording it while they were doing
Hook?
What year was Hook?
91.
So it's the same year as this movie got released.
Yeah. Probably in the same few weeks, because Hook was a Christmas movie.
Da hu dore, da hu dore.
That's for the Grinch.
It doesn't matter. Okay. It's all Christmas now.
Da 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 da.
Christmas.
In August.
Sorry, Jen. Go on.
I wish I had some jingle noise to put in on one of these buttons.
My movies don't jingle jangle. They fold. I want to see you dribble drabble for Santa. That's going to be over by the time this comes out.
You remember how you said that Robin Williams wasn't in the scroll by of the cast?
Yeah, I was like, I felt in my soul that it was Robin Williams, but I... Because no one says an albatross like he do. Mm-hmm. But then we watched the credits and I was like, I guess I was wrong.
Yeah, I felt the exact same way when I came across the credits.
The Kiwi was credited as voiced by Sudi Nim.
Oh, that's garbage. God bless that garbage.
All right, well, we have... three more, maybe four more things. Do we want to keep it for the end?
Yeah, sure.
They aren't like in-scene things, but...
That's fine.
All right, let's keep it for later.
Yeah.
So are we getting into the plot?
We should. And we should give it the brevity that did you say 23 minutes?
It's like 23 minutes and some seconds on YouTube. Yeah,
plus commercials, that was probably 3.5 hours on network TV.
Yeah, back in 1991.
Those darn executives.
Network executives. And Congress.
I can imagine mom making caramel corn for me. I say me, but us. And us sitting around and like watching it. Because it was a guy that my dad liked as a cartoonist. Mm-hmm. And it was absurd and funny for us kids. And us just like and mom never listens to the podcast, so it's fine when I say, and we had to like spit the old maids out of the caramel corn. If you're young, an old maid is an unpopped corn kernel when popcorn is not made in a bag or sifted into a bag of Smart Pop. Yeah, we had to spit those bad boys out, but yeah. We'd fight for the burnt bits. They're the best bits of caramel corn. So imagine, join us, applauders. Come with us. Just join us on the couch. The weirdly gray 80s couch with like pink bits in the fabric for no good reason.
Do you see that Christmas tree in the corner? Does it feel a little bit cold outside? Are you curled up with a blanket and maybe some hot cocoa?
Is the tin foil that you know you can't recycle a little bit too much because it was very cheap? It's fine. It's the 80s. No one knows about recycling yet. Hot cocoa, but it's got the weird clumps in it that you couldn't quite mix in.
Right, right.
But you put extra marshmallows in it. It was delicious.
Right.
Like pre-global temperature crisis, too.
Oh, yeah. And before it was bad to say, Cosby sweaters on half the people in the room.
Right.
Scrunchies in all the girls' hair.
Yeah.
Probably already been watching several holiday shows on the television.
Like, you're like halfway through your Christmas break.
Yeah, and it's like you're burnt out on like the repetitive Christmas things, but like this comes up and you're like, oh, well, this is different.
This is Carol,
which is my absolute favorite Christmas movie of all time.
Also one that we have done.
Yes.
That was great.
We won't reference it again, but if we do, I'm going to sing a song. Okay, so, Lydia, you have the best notes.
I have the best, apparently.
You have the best notes.
I have the most notes. They may not be the best.
Okay, but like also I have notes, which might also be a thing.
So, opening scene. We have the opening credits, and it's an Antarctic opening, because that's where penguins are. They're not in the Arctic. They're in the Antarctic.
Oh, Santa had to go a long way for this.
Yeah. This was not the North Pole. This was in the South Pole.
But to be fair, there's no polar bears, so that's like, that's accurate.
True.
I called this the North Pole scan, and then I was like, oh, wait, no.
And this is the opening credits that Jen was talking about in Sean Facts, where there must have been some dirtiness
I absolutely missed it. I can't wait to watch it again.
We will watch it again later on this year.
Yes.
It's a perfect Christmas movie.
Yes.
So I think we should watch it again and maybe like sit down and actually look for
all the anuses.
Yeah. And the boobies.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it does in the opening credits say Bill and Opis in A Wish for Wings That Work.
Yes.
But I always thought it was Opis, A Wish for Wings That Work. It's Opis and Bill. Oh, it's Opis in Bill in A Wish for Wings That Work.
That's okay.
Like Chippendales?
An N with a dash.
Yeah. Oh.
Or an N with an apostrophe.
Yeah, so it's like Chippendales, but Opis and Bill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Shocked and Applaud.
Shocked and Applaud.
Except ours is the ampersand.
Yeah,
I like our ampersand.
Yeah.
It's extra, but that's who we are.
We're closer to Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, we should have Shocked and Applaud shirts like the little and.
Oh, it's like in the D&D.
I love D&D and symbol.
Mm-hmm.
Someday we'll have merch and it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, when we get around to it.
Maybe. Oh. Go on.
So we see this like, okay, so one of the first people or the first characters we see is Bill. And Bill is like this tabby cat who has like one eye bigger than the other. Mm-hmm. And he's carrying something that looks like a cooler.
It is a litter box.
It is a litter box.
With a lid on it.
It's one of the litter boxes with a lid on it.
Yes.
Which none of the cats that we live with are actually going to tolerate that bullshit.
No, they're like, I'm going to poop and freely just all over the place. Cats are pretty good.
Yeah.
Now that they have like multiple spots.
Now that we have like litter boxes 5 feet from each other.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
We literally have four litter boxes upstairs.
Four?
Four. There's one in the spare room, one in my room, one in Leota's room, and one in the front, which the cats never use because they still piss on the front door. And I had to clean that up this morning.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. It's the price of having two male cats living upstairs.
Pitch is so good at using her one litter box, but she is a princess.
Anyway, But going back to the movie.
You know what I think? I think Bill only ever goes in his box.
Because Bill's respectable like
he's
that.
He's carrying it around with him, for God's sake.
He has to have it. He's planning ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bill, a planner.
Bill is the best. He really is the best.
He really is the best.
We see Bill, he sits the litter box down and then he sits on the litter box and then he's looking onward to a house with some lights on it. It's night and we hear voiceover and the voiceover is of Opus.
And it's Opus's letter to Santa.
Mm-hmm. He is essentially asking for, you know, like the title says, wings that work. He uses a lot more like poetic language.
Oh, yes. He's a hyperbole guy. He is like wordy in a way that I wish I had wordplay like Opus. I really do. Just the way that he just non sequiturs. In fact, I think Berkeley Breathed had a strip called Nope. There was a strip I also liked that was similar in a way to Berkeley Breathed's. That was called non sequitur.
Mm-hmm.
And I just like absurdist humor. I like it when it goes off, when it's just like they give you a premise and then they twist it hard on the head. So you hear it several times. I'm sure you've written it down, but like he'll say something and you're just like, wow, that's a lot of words to describe the thing. And then he gives like a 2-word rebuttal that twists it in such a way that's just so good. But also, while it pans through, and I'm sure you're going to discuss what he actually says, but do you know, and you know a plotter is that I'm obsessed with food. Do you know what foods he's eating in this scene?
I did not write down what he was eating because I know that you probably would have.
I did.
But so please tell us what he's eating.
Okay, so he's having a beverage. Do you want to guess?
It's like some kind of eggnog with like a fish twist.
It's anchovy eggnog.
Yep.
And then he's having a little nosh. Do you know what that is?
It's like it's stomach. It's like a stomach of something.
Yeah, it's herring stomach pate, yeah. Which he dips something in that they don't describe, but it looks a little bit like a little crostini sort of situation.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. I would not drink nearly any kind of eggnog that was not boozy. There's no point. It's just straight calories. It's like a milkshake that is sad, unless it is a booze delivery system. And even then, I probably wouldn't. I would opt for something else. I'd be like, okay, you're taking rum and you're putting it into a thing I don't want to drink. And that's difficult for me. But I would probably eat herring stomach pate. I'd at least try it, especially on a crostini. I can't think of nearly anything that isn't probably good on a crostini, as long as it's like a food item.
Valid.
Okay.
There are a couple, I didn't write down everything he says in his letter to Santa Claus.
Yes.
But there are a couple of things that I wanted to note at the beginning, because as he's writing the letter, it does go into a flashback before it like gets back into the regular story.
It all started this morning, right?
Right. But he had specifically says he wants no frills flappers. I like that phrase. He also refers to Santa Claus as your plumpness.
Yes.
And as we were watching it, I was like, I turned to Naomi and I'm like, from now on, you can refer to me as your plumpness. Because it's like, it feels like super respectful.
But there's nothing wrong with being plump.
Well, and it's like, well, because there isn't anything wrong with being
right.
Plump. But it's also like for all of the things that you could say about a person's body type.
Mm-hmm.
And I say this as someone who is 300 pounds. There is a part of me that, like, if you're going to talk about my weight, you could at least do it in a positive manner. Your plumpness is like your highness.
Okay, yes. He's not upset about it. In fact, throughout the entire film, you're going to see him take what is often regarded as a negative physical attribute, and he's going to give it a positive twist. And we'll go mm-hmm. over it later, but, like, he's just, you know, regarding. Did you know that Santa was not referred to as plump until that poem?
The 'Twas the Night Before Christmas poem?
Yeah. That's when he got the bowl full of jelly thing. Until then, he was just like some Nordic guy who was a little thick. Like,
sorry. I'm just getting an image of like
Santa being Claus. Like, here's your present, ladies. Did I tell you that one time I won concert tickets to my very first concert? Which starred Smash Mouth? It was the Jingle Bell Bash. It wasn't the Jingle Bell Ball, which was like the other radio station's like fancier concert.
Right.
But I called in, I was like 3 a.m. on the radio because I've always been an insomniac, right? But they were like, what does 1 in 3 women fantasize about during the holidays, right? And I just like speed buttoned. This was a landline. I was like, speed button, speed button, speed button. I got through. They're like, what do you fantasize about during the holidays? Not you, me. I was a 15-year-old kid. And I was like, food. Women fantasize about food during the holidays. And they were like, nope, click. And I was like, and so I speed dialed again. And I was like, I speed dialed. I had no answer in my head, but I was like, I want to win concert tickets real bad. And I like pick it up and they're like, what is 1 in 3 women fantasize during about the holiday? And I was like, Santa Claus? And they were like, yep, you've won 2 tickets to the Jingle Bell Bash. And I got to see, hold on, who the f*** did I get to see? It was Fastball. Remember?
Yeah.
Remember Fastball?
Yeah.
Remember their radio hit?
No, but I remember the name.
Yeah, Fastball did...
Where were they going without ever knowing the way?
Yeah, that one? Okay.
Oh, wow.
And then they did... Okay, so only one guy. I don't know if Everclear was ever more than one guy, but they did Everclear.
Everclear was like 3 guys.
Okay, well, one guy from that was Everclear that showed up. And I remember my dad loving it so hard. He was like, this is the greatest. This is the greatest. And I was like, you have dad issues too? And then Smash Mouth showed up and was like, somebody once told me the world is gonna roll me. I tried to be in the mosh pit, and for some reason, I always get mashed up against shirtless armpit guy. I'm not a small lady by any means, but always up against shirtless armpit guy whose hands are straight up in the air, and I don't think he put on deodorant. Merry Christmas.
Thick Santa Claus.
I prefer thick Santa Claus. But I wish 1 in 3 women didn't dream about it every year.
Women like a man in charge. What can I say? A man who gives gifts in charge. It has magical reindeer.
A certain amount of really sadistic, probably, people fantasize about Belschnickel from The Office at Stoitz. Okay, that was just a throw.
That's a real niche reference, considering that I'm also
nobody
a woman.
Watches The Office.
No, because Dwight Schrute is continuously abused by the sociopath that is Jim Halpert.
Yeah,
I'd rather watch Krampus with Adam Scott.
Krampus.
Did I say Krampus? Adam Scott.
Oh, from Parks and Rec.
Adam Scott from Parks and Rec, who's in a movie called Krampus.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, have you not seen?
I have not seen.
Oh, he is.
Maybe that's our December actual Christmas.
Applauders, during this whole moment, Pitch has just been rubbing her face. So if you
just
hear that,
accept
the
it. We're going to leave that in the edit. Okay, so like Adam Scott is like the stepfather of an evil child who is something like Krampus judged. And then like he's like, no, he's our demon baby. Don't judge him. I'm his stepfather. And I could be completely wrong, but I don't care. It's all about Adam Scott being like the cutest guy.
He really do. He is.
I could imagine him being your celebrity crush.
Oh, he's probably up there. Yeah. Why not?
I mean, why not? Have you seen Severance?
Yeah, we watched that together.
Yeah, I want to cuddle him real bad.
So back to the letter that Opus is writing.
Hey, why doesn't he cut to a flashback right about now? Unless you have something to add.
Before we do cut back to the flashback, Jen, you should get the button ready for the flashback. He mentions to Santa that he is a flightless bird, but he doesn't blame his mother. He instead chooses to blame Congress. And this is going back to what Naomi's saying about the jokes. Like he's not going to blame his mother for his genetics. He could blame his dad for genetics, but he's not even talking about his dad.
Yeah.
But instead he blames the Congress.
You know what? Past tense, forward tense, whatever tense we're at right now. If we don't fund systems that help us, then we get failed by those systems.
Mm-hmm.
Crunchy, crunchy, left wing, know me. Crunchy, crunchy, left wing, know me.
It's nice to know that even back then, Congress was getting dunked on. Yeah. Flashback.
So Opus is running down the streets going, fly, 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 fly.
So this is the second movie in a row where we have a morning runner. Because the last movie, Charlie Clark, was running in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe in running in the morning.
I mean, I do.
Oh.
Well, I did until I got a job that makes me work like 10 times harder than running warehouse.
Running in the morning is for the bourgeoisie and the flightless earthbound birds.
That's the perfect thing to put on a t-shirt.
Okay, so he runs and he's chasing after seagulls, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then Bill wakes up from his trash can and he and Opus runs like over him, which is a funny little smash moment. But then Bill, who is our we say Tabby, but he's an orange boy, right? He's like, oh, he's got a trash can stuck on his leg. And he's like, oh. He doesn't actually speak. He's a speechless character. But I will speak for Bill.
Because this is a podcast.
Right? And he's like, oh, I want to do it too. And he just flaps his arms and then he runs straight after Opus. And I'm like, my notes are like, Bill's a joiner.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. I'm a joiner. I love it.
Yeah.
Go, Bill. Bill's the best. Can we do that's our catchphrase this episode.
Bill's the best. And then we get into my next note after yes, Bill the cat, because I love him so much, is behold the Greek chorus for an epic play.
Yes, it's our second movie with a Greek chorus. Mm-hmm. If you go back to our little Shop of Horrors episode, in which Seymour buys a plant for $1.25, mm-hmm. which is how much I bought this DVD for.
Life imitating art. But unfortunately, Opus can't fly. He follows the seagulls all the way to the edge of a cliff and they fly off, but he just can't do it. And he starts beating himself up. Do you know what he says?
Oh, hold on a second. Did you see in the Greek chorus, Elvis is there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's a running gag in Opus comic strips. Elvis just is there sometimes.
Right.
Where did he go? He ended up in the comics.
Yeah. But what does Opus call himself? But I might as well be a dung beetle or a fly infested worm infused molded mildewed scrub of rotten banana or a network executive.
Did you notice that he mentions built-in obsolescence?
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, relevance? Right to repair penguins? Like, if there was the systemic equity, maybe he could be as strong and as agile as other flightful birds if he got the support he needed. It's a dumb rant, and I'm sorry I said it, but also he starts to cry.
Well,
and
he sees himself as being obsolete because of the fact that he can't.
Yeah, yeah.
And like that's like the whole like that's the what is that? That's the conflict that spurs on this whole
yes.
story.
He starts to weep. And because of the cold, his tear freezes and he grabs it off his face. He like ka-tunks it off his face and he looks at it. And in this way, that's very, very much the comic. He goes, and he flicks it. Do you remember?
I didn't see that, but I'm glad you got it.
He flicks the tear. And then Bill, who's walking up on him, goes, and like a frog, he catches it out of the air and he eats it. And he's like, crunch, crunch, crunch. So fucking cute.
Welcome to the holidays in August, Plotter. You've just listened to part one of our review of 1991's Opus and Bill in A Wish for Wings That Work. This may be a 30-minute cartoon, but we've ranted and raved long enough to provide you with two more parts to our review this month. Looking for more great throwbacks to keep your spirits high? Hindsight Movie Reviews just released their episode covering Back to the Future. And Blockbuster Mentality has a new episode discussing Big Trouble in Little China. You can find links to these shows in this release's description. Hey, this is your audio engineer and basically a network executive, Jen. Do you wish you had the power to control media censorship? By sponsoring us for only $1 per month on Patreon, you'll get the magic ability to listen to our full episode catalog without bleeps or these snarky little reminders that we'd really love your support. We'll be back in 1 week for part two of this animated holiday special. From Shocked and Applaud, thank you for patroning the peculiar.